All right, it is your third and final hour of your Friday the 13th edition of Justice and Drew. Like we said, the way 2020's been going, you got a Friday the 13th. We need to shut this day down at 9 o'clock. So we're going to end the show at 9, and then everybody, and I'm talking everybody, shut down, go home, call it a day.
No, you're going to call a lid at 9 a.m.?
I'm calling a lid for the entire state of Minnesota at 9 a.m.
But I want to know about the lawsuits at 11.
You can do that from home.
Okay, I'm fine with that.
You can do that from
home. And everything from
home. It's Friday the 13th. Do not take any chances.
I'm totally good with that. Joining us right now, we'll get back to our lawyer extraordinaire, Jeff O'Brien, but it's our representative extraordinaire, Tom Emmerich. Good morning, Tom.
Hey. Good morning, John. Like good morning, Andrew.
Congressman extraordinaire. I like that.
Hey, I need your help because my wife was asking me questions about all these House seats we were picking up, and I didn't have the proper answers for her. So maybe you can educate me further. So I know that we picked up another one yesterday. I believe that's the sixth total pickup out of the 12 that we ended up winning. Can you break down all your success, Tom Emmerich, is what we're saying?
Well, I think we're...
Please.
I think so far we have flipped 10 seats, which gives us a net plus 9, which puts us at 208 total. And I mean, I can get into all the nuances of why we started at 199, but we're at 208 total. And with the races that are out there, John, you know, yet to be called in New York, yet to be called in New Jersey.
Why are there still the outs? That was my wife's question of like the New York one yesterday. Why are there still outstanding ones in those particular states?
Because they counted the first ones that they counted were the it was a mail-in ballot.
Okay, it's a mail-in ballot situation. Okay.
So they counted all those and they held all the absentees.
Okay.
So the absentees and the early votes, as I understand it, in New York had sat there waiting. The reason Max Rose concedes yesterday is because there were Nicole Malliotakis, this is in Staten Island, she was up by over 38,000 votes, and there's only 40,000 ballots left to count. And unlike some other places in the country where apparently all the ballots come in for Biden and none for Trump, in this case, they knew that that wasn't going to happen, so he's going to lose. Syracuse, New York, John Katko has a 55,000 vote lead. Why they haven't called it yet? It's mostly because you got these Democrats who are running the campaign or the election apparatus, and they're just going to make us wait, right? This is the way it is. They could call them already because they know that it's so large that you're not going to get 95% or 75% Dem votes versus the other one. California, a little different situation. That's, again, because they've got these ballots that are coming in from counties that were absentee ballots and mail-in and ballots that just it takes time. They get 30 days after the election to count these things. But if all goes our way in the next week or two, the best day we could have, we could end up with a number as high as 214 members, which would be a four-seat majority because 218 is the magic number. And I think we will be conservatively somewhere around 210, 212 would make sense. Either way, under any scenario, a 4-8-seat majority will be the closest or the thinnest majority in Congress since World War II.
Talk a little bit about, you know, what that means on, in a pragmatic sense. You know, when you get into session and bills start being bandied about, when you have that thin a majority, how much is the minority in that situation able to sort of interject themselves in the process and make sure that their agenda items and make sure that their priorities are getting a proper hearing when it's that thin?
Yeah, ordinarily it's huge. Under ordinary circumstances, like Kevin McCarthy said yesterday in a press conference, we won. we're the winners of this election because he knows that now he has incredible power in terms of being a voice for the American people with Nancy Pelosi. Here's the problem, though, guys. These are not normal times. And this is not my grandfather's Democrat Party. There's a civil war raging internally in their party that the far left wing, the socialists, have literally taken over the Democrat Party. Ocasio-Cortez, Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib. There's a whole bunch of them. If your listeners want to know who they are, just look up their Medicare for All proposal, which is socialized medicine or government-run health care that they advocate for. They want to destroy the private health care options that we have. It's a number that exceeds 100 of their members. They have taken over the party, and now there's a big fight going on over there, guys, in fact, the radical left says that they lost these seats because they weren't radical enough, if you can believe that.
Let them think that.
And by the way, Nancy should lose her job. She should be fired. They've already fired their campaign. Well, she's walking away, quote-unquote, Sherry Bustos, who ran their campaign arm, a complete and abject failure. I mean, the day of the election, she was bragging how they were going to pick up 15 to 24 seats. How there was no way that we were going to hold Will Hurd's seat in San Antonio, Texas, which we won walking away. It's pretty amazing. But Nancy should be a victim of this loss as well. Right now, it looks like they're going to reinstall the same leadership team that has essentially been there for almost the past 20 years. I mean, these are all octogenarians. You know, they're all 80 years old. It's her, it's Steny Hoyer, it's Jim Clyburn. Despite these failures, they're going to put them back in, and I'm afraid that what's happening is Nancy had 15 members vote against her 2 years ago. This time it's going to be, what I said, 4-8 member margin. She can't afford to have those people vote against her this time, so guess what? She's making deals with Ocasio-Cortez and Ilhan Omar and company to remain the speaker, and that doesn't bode well for America because I said, Andrew, when I started the answer, ordinarily it should mean they have to come to the middle, they have to work with us to advance things that are good for the country, but I'm afraid it's going to be more of the obstructionist Nancy Pelosi, and that's not good for anyone.
We know President Donald Trump, we've been talking about it all morning, you know, is challenging the results of this election and wants clarity. That's an understatement on what happened on election night in the days following. The question I have for you, Tom Emmer, is does it make any sense that we did as the GOP, that you did, that we did as well in picking up these House seats, and it looks like if things go the way that we pray that it goes with the Senate, that we'll end up keeping, you know, the majority in the Senate. Does it make any sense to you that the presidential part of this race turned out the way that it did, given the success that we had with our congressional races?
Does it make any sense to any of us that a sitting president got more of the popular vote? Over 71 million Americans voted for the sitting president, more than any sitting president has ever received in the history of our country. And somehow the energy-less, the lethargic Joe Biden got more. Does it make any sense to anyone that Joe Biden somehow overperformed Barack Obama in six counties around Milwaukee? Aren't there questions that people have about the process? You know, you see all of these things going around, and there seems to be, if there's a conspiracy, it's with the media. The media is like cashed in, and they refuse to ask legitimate questions. They refuse to look at Georgia. Everybody wants to scream fraud, fraud. Okay, how about just let's make sure that the questions we have are answered? Why can't we understand the irregularities in Pennsylvania where all of a sudden, the court said you have to segregate ballots that are received after a certain time, 8 p.m. on election day, and Republicans are mysteriously kept out of counting rooms? Is that because they were not segregating the ballots? I mean, John, there are so many questions about how this has been handled in this rush to judgment. It took 37 days for Bush-Gore to be resolved, and that only involved three counties in one state. Can we at least do our due diligence and make sure that for those of us that are part of the 71 million plus that voted for this sitting president and his his policies that have made America once again the great country that it's intended to be, that it's able to be. Don't you think that we should be afforded an opportunity to understand how this election actually happened, to answer these questions? That's mine, and I think we do need to keep asking, and we got to wonder. If we thought our national news media was corrupted before, I don't see how there's any question that we know it now.
Yeah, I find it all to be completely unwatchable. You know, the gaslighting that goes on, and especially CNN. I mean, CNN can't go 5 minutes without mentioning, saying the phrase Vice President-elect Biden at least 10 times. It just feels like it's such an intentional effort to hammer that messaging home in people's minds, so that if some of these lawsuits and if some of these challenges do end up being successful, people aren't going to understand. And that is media malpractice. I mean, they know, Representative Emmer, that some of these elections, some of these results are could flip. When they're being challenged like that, there's always that possibility. And for the media out there to completely disregard and discount even the possibility and present this idea to all of their viewers that this election is over, it's unquestionable that Joe Biden won, it's malpractice, and it's a very, very dangerous game. And they know that, and that really bothers me.
You know, there is one good thing, guys, that's coming out of this. At least one group of people are benefiting, and that's the people at Newsmax. They seem to be doing very well.
Yeah, they're right. They're mopping the floor right now. Yeah.
Incredible.
Well, Representative Emmer, thank you so much for coming on the program every week. We really appreciate it, and congratulations again on your work. For the NRCC and the success that you've had in this election, even so far. And we will continue to keep our fingers crossed here and keep an eye on these races going forward. That we'll see even more successes coming out. I hope your predictions come to light. But even if they didn't, this was a really, really successful cycle for you.
Yeah, no, it's for all of us, though. And, to John's question, let's hope that these questions that we have get answered satisfactorily.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm praying that's the case, my friend. I'm praying that's the case.
And that needs to look. I'm not one to give you advice, but I think that needs to be the focus for like all Republicans going forward, coming out of this election. I mean, election integrity and election security and election transparency have to be top priorities going forward. And I know there's not a whole lot that can be done at the federal level on that, because these elections are administered by states and on the state level, even your federal elections and such. But it's got to be a priority. We've got 70% of Republicans out there that do not think this was a free and fair election. And that's a problem. That in and of itself is a problem that needs to be remedied.
Well, and Andrew and John, as you go forward, I think if Nancy Pelosi is somehow reelected, understand that her number one priority is not health care. Her number one priority is not transportation or other infrastructure that will build the commerce in this country. You know what her number one priority is? She wants to revisit her House File 1, which is a complete rewrite of election laws in this country. She wants to federalize elections because guess what? Their ideas do not work.
Yeah.
Their ideas do not support the individual in this country who wants to pursue his or her American dream. So guess what? When their ideas don't work, when they don't have something that sells to Americans, then they got to play with the elections, because the only way they can win is by skewing the rules in their favor. And I would call out our members like Dean Phillips and Angie Craig, who want to claim that they're towards the center. Do something about it. Let's get back to doing things for the American people and quit trying to change election laws so that it gives you an advantage.
Thanks, sir.
Excellent mic drop, Tom Emmer. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week. Take care.
Thanks.
That was fantastic. That's got to be priority number one, man. It's got to be getting some election integrity going in there as soon as possible. Tom's absolutely right, and we've seen it over and over and over again, and we've seen it in this election, in the lead up, to the election. They can't win on the merits. They can't win by simply persuading people that their ideas are better. So when they can't win, they just change the rules of the game over and over and over.
Before we get to the news quiz at 8:35 this morning, you can get your votes in right now of who you think will win this morning's news quiz between lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien and producer Sam. Before we get to that, though, next, we'll get to your phone calls. Plus, there's a reason why Texas rejected the Dominion voting machine. Trump put out a really compelling tweet yesterday that we'll share with you. Plus, we'll get into something that happened yesterday in the midst of this ruling out of Pennsylvania, where interveners for Democrats in Pennsylvania lawsuit apparently proved the Trump campaign's claims of fraud. We'll ask our lawyer extraordinaire about that next on Justice and M.
City's News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. We got one more segment before our Friday news quiz featuring our lovely, talented radio producer, Samantha, and lawyer extraordinaire, Jeff O'Brien, making his Friday news quiz debut. If you want to predict who you think's going to win, make sure to use the hashtag TCNT on Twitter or Parler, or you can email JD@TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com.
We will get to your phone calls here in just a moment. Got a couple of things happening today. There'll be a ruling in Michigan at 11 a.m. I believe that that ruling is supposed to be about the 40,000 ballots they want to toss that went to Joe Biden.
That's what I understand.
Yesterday was interesting. We talked about it earlier in the show. Be sure you catch up with the podcast on the iHeartRadio app if you missed it. But you've got all these individuals who are signing these affidavits. There is this Detroit woman, Melissa Carone, who said she worked for Dominion, said that she witnessed people counting ballots four and five times over. So 100 ballots would end up being 500 and over again. There's also talks about the machines getting stuck. And when that four and five times an hour, when that happens, you're supposed to clear the machine of its information and then resend the ballots through. And that wasn't happening. So ballots were getting recounted.
And this is a notarized affidavit. I know there's some chatter Rob Doran tweeted earlier about.
But actually?
Well, no. It was some of the affidavits that are floating around were just submitted through the Trump campaign website. Anybody can do that. But so what you want to look for when you're looking at affidavits is you want to make sure that it's a notarized affidavit. It was done the proper way. Those are the ones that, and correct me if I'm wrong, lawyer extraordinaire, those are the ones that the person that is putting their name on the affidavit runs some criminal risk if they're telling a lie, right?
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's why you have, it's a sworn affidavit when you're swearing under oath and it's being notarized to verify that you're actually signing it. Yeah.
Trump tweeted yesterday. And we talked about this. One of two things is happening. Either Trump is trying to set the stage. They don't really have anything, but he wants to put information out there and, you know, try to get people engaged, continue to have people engaged for later on, potentially to raise money for these congressional races. There's some chatter of that. Or they actually have something. And I seem to follow more on they actually have something. But this was really interesting. He tweeted yesterday, report. Dominion deleted 2.7 million Trump votes nationwide. Data analysis finds 221,000 Pennsylvania votes switched from President Trump to Biden. 941,000 Trump votes deleted. States using Dominion voting systems switched 435,000 votes from Trump to Biden. I know that OANN was running with this story yesterday. I haven't seen further validity on this either. Jeff O'Brien doesn't look like you have either. So we still have to wait to see what comes out of that.
Right. Right.
I know Kayleigh McEnany made a comment, the White House press secretary. She was on Hannity last night and said that the president will speak to the public when it's the appropriate time to do so. And I'm the assumption that I got from that was that she was basically saying, look, we're going to move this stuff through. When we have something substantial, which we believe we have, he'll address the country. This was interesting yesterday, what I want to get your thought on real quick, and then we'll get to some phone calls. This comes came from Uncovered DC. I sent you the video that somebody had put up of this. In a stunning filing Tuesday, on November 12th, potential interveners in the Trump campaign's lawsuit against the Secretary of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania proved one of the allegations of illegality the Trump campaign brought forth in their initial complaint against the Secretary and several boards of elections. The Trump campaign alleges that in contravention of election law, certain precincts reached out to mail-in and absentee voters to cure, doing nothing with my fingers, their ballots before Election Day or fix errors that would have otherwise made their votes invalid. On page 35 of the complaint, which they show in full here, the Trump campaign spells out election law that was recently affirmed this year in the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania as it pertains to the mail-in ballots. A large part of the case filed by the Trump campaign explains in detail how the Secretary of State of Pennsylvania sent out guidance to election boards instructing them to ignore the law. According to the lawsuit, there was no even adherence to the law. Some counties followed it, while others, namely Democrat strongholds, did not. Now, you had a chance to look this over. What did you see?
Yeah, so we're talking about the issue of these voters giving being given an opportunity to cure the defect in their absentee ballot. And this is what goes back to what we were talking about the previous hour. And it's not trying to state that anything sinister occurred, but we all know, we've all met folks that either are paid to work on elections or volunteer as election officials. They tend to have kind of a religious fervor on giving people the right to vote.
Right.
And so I think, to me, given the volume of mail-in ballots and absentee ballots, the biggest question here, and I don't like to use the term illegality or fraud, but this, whether or not these election officials followed the rules in terms of, does the law permit them to try to cure these otherwise invalid ballots? Just on looking at that affidavit that you sent me, and I haven't gone looking at Pennsylvania law, but if Pennsylvania law says you can't contact someone before the election day to cure their absentee ballot,
which I believe it does,
and someone is saying that they did do that, that's a problem.
Why would they admit that? That was the question that I had. And some people were saying, well, perhaps they're admitting it because they know what else is coming, and so therefore there's no point in trying to hide what they did. I mean, that was the gist of what I read from a couple of comments.
Or it could, and I haven't looked in great detail other than the deadline for extending absentee ballots in Pennsylvania. Their Secretary of State may have said something else about kind of trying to override the statute. And so that, I don't know. And that maybe, and so maybe there's nothing that they were doing that was, you know, with the intention of breaking the law. Maybe they were trying to follow whatever rules their election officials were telling them. I don't know. I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt here, but, it raises a question, put it that way.
All right, we got a few minutes before we got to wrap this segment up. Listen, we got a lot of people on hold, so let's try to squeeze through as many calls as we can. We're going to bring you on. Please try to be concise with your comments. We'll start with probably dooming myself from the get-go, but Don in Burnsville, good morning. You're on with lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien.
Hi, good morning. The GOP has filed at least a dozen or more lawsuits alleging fraud, and none of them are going anywhere. Three got laughed out of court yesterday.
I'm gonna stop you there, Don. I'm gonna put you on hold. Lawyer extraordinaire. Did they get laughed out of court? Is that an appropriate way to characterize what happened with the lawsuit so far?
Typically, judges don't laugh a case out of court. They may have been dismissed, but normally they aren't accompanied. I haven't seen in 20 years of practice, I've never seen a case accompanied with laughter and being dismissed.
Don, go right to your question.
And I just want to add too that there was a big one that we've been talking about all morning long go ahead.
What's your question, Don? Quickly, please.
Well, I tell you what, I'm not going to argue with you guys anymore. It's easier to just let you be wrong.
No, Don, don't do that. I love when you argue with us.
Okay.
That was easy.
No, these are the three cases that I heard yesterday when the attorney presenting the case before the judge was asked simple questions like did you see anything wrong with the way people were allowed to observe? They said no, and the attorney says,
okay, quickly, Don, quickly get to your question. Yeah, please.
What's your point?
Now, you may not laugh at it, but I thought it was humorous.
But
why would a prominent attorney bring such a frivolous case to court?
I'm going to stop you there, Don. I'm going to stop you there. Jeff, I'm assuming that question was directed at you.
I'll do a real quick civil procedure 101 here.
Thank you.
when you file a lawsuit, you just have to have a colorable claim. If they have anybody that is, you know, that is saying, you know, a witness that claims that they've saw something happen, that's enough to file a lawsuit. And then the other side can file a motion to dismiss.
Right.
Court decides it. And if the motion to dismiss isn't granted, then the parties move on to the next phase of the lawsuit. So this isn't limited to election related lawsuits. This is anything. We're a notice.
Civil procedure 101.
For the most part, United States is a notice pleading jurisdiction. You just have to have a colorable claim to get into court and survive.
And Don was playing that game, by the way, just really quick, of the, I'm going to point to one thing to try to discredit everything else. That is one on a mountain, you know, if we're going to have a mountain of COVID, you know, a mountain of potential irregularities, yeah, and fraud. And I'm really saddened at the state of affairs that we're in right now, where so many people just don't care. They just don't care about the rule of law. They don't care about whether or not anything is done appropriately. And you know, that goes with Don, that goes with Jerry. If this was turned around and if this was the Republicans, if this was the right doing what we think the left did in this election, you know, that's just a little sprinkle on this garbage shake ice cream whatever that we're all having to eat right now.
Kevin in Minneapolis, your question, please.
I have a comment first. Win if you can, lose if you must, but always cheat. And I think when Jesse Ventura said that, he was probably referring to the Democrat Party when it came to elections. Here's my question. 1986, I read Chronicle magazine. They talked about how these computer systems in voting can be manipulated to change an election. How are they going to be able to determine which one of these elections in which the software reversed the vote count? I think they had 6,000 that went for Biden and then that got reversed and they threw him to Biden. I think this was the most massive vote fraud in our history, with the ballots, with COVID and the mail-in ballots. And the irregularities, I think the cheating, and even the post office was involved in that. I'm sure you guys read that. This was the most massive vote fraud scheme in history, and for them to get away with it is absolutely an outrage.
Well, Joe Biden said, early on, he said, we've got the, do we have that? Do we still have
that? Yeah, it's upper left-hand corner there.
Right there, right here.
There you go.
Final question for you.
We had it. Now it's gone. That's what happens when two people try to work the same mouse. All right, let's take a quick break. Come back. We'll play the Friday News Quiz, and then we'll get to all of your calls. Stick around. Final segment, Friday edition, Justice and Drew, and that means it's time for your Friday News Quiz. We got three rounds in the Friday News Quiz. We've got your audio round. We'll play an audio clip. You tell us who's speaking. Relevant context might get you bonus points. Parody round, play a snippet of a parody song. Tell us what story it's referencing. That'll get you a point. And then the headline round, we'll read a headline. That headline will have blanks in it. Your job is to fill in those blanks, and every time you do, you will get a point.
Do it.
We have our defending champion, kinda, Sam's answer here.
Kinda.
Spelled with three Z's.
It's not, there's no Z's in it.
Going up against making his Friday News Quiz debut, lawyer extraordinaire, one of the sharpest minds in the state of Minnesota, Jeff O'Brien.
Don't try to intimidate me. I don't want to, I'm like, my natural instinct is to trash talk, but I don't want to trash talk Jeff.
Yeah, I don't have to intimidate you.
I have been this nervous since the bar exam. I don't know. It's tough competition.
We have six audio clips in our opening round. We will start with Sam. This audio clip is for you.
So nervous.
Tell us who is speaking.
Jeff's like a wild card to me.
And what they might be talking about.
Now, for those in the media who are angry that Republicans won't just take their word for it, that Biden won, I think you need some self-awareness.
Oh, my gosh. I know who that is, and I'm, like, blank on his name because I'm so nervous. I don't know.
That is not the right answer there, Sam.
Jeff, chance to steal?
Sounded like Marco Rubio.
Oh! Look at Jeff taking the first point of the game.
Yeah, he's getting crushed.
Stealing a point from Sam to open the game. That was Marco Rubio, indeed.
So now, is there just one point available for this one for both here?
No,
for
2 points.
There are two points available. Okay.
2 points, two voices.
Gotcha.
In this one.
All right, here you go, Jeff O'Brien.
We want every legal vote to be counted.
and we want every illegal vote.
I just think we have to be very clear. She's charging, the other side is welcoming fraud and welcoming illegal voting.
So that was the Kelly McEnany's press conference talking about the challenging the election results, and Neil Cavuto interrupting it, so taking it, basically kicking it off the air and saying he couldn't countenance that.
Jeff O'Brien coming out to a 3-0 lead.
Yes.
Audio clip number 3. This one is for you, Sam. Who's speaking?
I want to lay those fears, I want to rest those fears for you right now, because when they talk about packing the courts or ending the filibuster, I will not vote to do that.
I don't know.
No?
No.
No?
No. I'm going to lose.
Jeff, chance of steal.
I believe that was West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin.
I believe you are correct. That is a 4-0 lead. So we might get our first shutout.
All right. Slur extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien. Here's your audio clip number 4.
Obviously, on this issue, we're not going into someone's home and arresting them on Thanksgiving.
What? Why don't you just hand him just nicely?
Yeah, that seems
a that would be our lovely governor Tim Walz with his latest round of restrictions correct. On our lives.
That is correct. Audio clip number 5. This one's for you, Sam. And there's 2 points available here. There's only one voice, but if you can tell us who he's talking to, there will be a bonus point available.
I can give you the answer. Hell no, Joe Biden is not violating the Logan Act. The reason you won't say it is because that was your flimsy political basis to go after a decorated war hero because you disagreed politically with President Trump.
That was Ted Cruz, and he was talking, it was during the Senate hearings this week related to the Carter Page issue and everything, and Russia collusion.
Who was he talking to?
I do not remember who specifically he was talking to.
But Ted Cruz is right. That is 1 point, Sam. She's on the board.
Oh, no.
Jeff, do you know who he was talking to?
He was talking to Andrew McCabe.
Oh, there you go. That's Jeff stealing yet another point.
All right. Here's the last audio clip for you, Lawyer Extraordinaire.
If you choose to say no to these victims of crime, then please stand by that. I'm saying we need more resources today and right now.
That would be the Minneapolis Police Chief, Chief Arredondo.
That is correct. Wow, coming out of the round one. I don't think
Don't even say it.
This big a disparity
don't
coming out of round one. That is 7
do
points. Jeff O'Brien, 1 point. Samantha Sansevier.
I'll make a comeback.
I've got 2 parody song snippets here to play for you. If you can tell us what specific story is being referenced.
I'm getting psyched out.
By these songs, then you will win a point. Sam.
He's too calm, cool, and collected.
Parody number 1 for you.
Sometimes you want to go where they don't fact check constantly. And expressing your views where it's free.
Is this about people turning away from Fox News and going to alternative sources? What?
Jeff, chance to steal?
It sounds like it's referring to the migration of folks away from Twitter and possibly Facebook over to Parler.
That is exactly what it's about. 1 point, Jeff.
Oh my like to offer up a bonus point for Sam if she can answer this question based off of that parody. What was that parody song originally based off of?
It was based off of Cheers. Thank you, John.
Well, yeah, Sam getting a pity point.
That was not a pity point. I earned that point.
Here's a parody song number 2 for Jeff O'Brien.
If it's true, then Vladimir will be gone soon. You want the truth, they say that it's 'cause Putin's on the fritz.
That's what we call a stretch. Right there.
What are you talking about? That was brilliant.
Jeff? No, the song is parody of Putin on the Ritz, but was this Putin having mental issue, cognitive decline too? No?
A little more specific.
There were stories... Sorry.
Go ahead, Sam. Chance to steal.
There were stories this week, or rumors, I guess, that Putin's health is not doing so great, but now, like, Russia came out and they're like, Putin's totally fine.
Yeah.
He's fine.
We'll give you that. The rumor is that Putin was going to step down due to health concerns. The rumor was he had Parkinson's, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I didn't hear that the first time around, but yeah, but Sam's absolutely right. Russia's come out and said, no, Soviets don't get sick.
Vodka washes away Parkinson's. Yeah. In Soviet Russia.
It is 8-3 going into the headline round. Now, there are a ton of points to be had here, so this is far from over. Right now, Sam's in the Trump position. Jeff's in the Biden position. We're going to call
him
News Quiz winner-elect Jeff O'Brien.
All right, there are 2 points available for headline number one. Ryan, you guys ready?
No.
Here we go. Blank reports a 90% effectiveness rate for...
Pfizer announces a 90% effective rate for their COVID-19 vaccine.
That is correct. 2 points, Sam. 2 points available here as well. Blank spent nearly $2.8 million with her blank's firm.
Sam.
Oh,
you got to buzz in with your name.
All right.
Ilhan Omar spent $2.8 million for her husband's firm.
That's correct. 2 points there.
1 point available here. Headline number three. Blank calls for hand recount of presidential bouts.
Georgia.
Uh-oh.
Jeff, you got to buzz in, man. You want a chance here. Headline number four. Two blanks in this one. Under new COVID restrictions, blanks must close by.
Jeff. I heard Jeff.
Jeff, yeah.
Bars and restaurants have to close by 10 p.m.
That's correct. 2 points, Jeff.
1 point available here. Minneapolis, the city council president blank will not.
Lisa Bender.
Seek re-election. That is correct.
Headline number six. 2 points, two blanks in this one. Rumors circulate that blank is being considered for either
Jeff.
Sam.
Jeff.
Amy Klobuchar is being considered for, was it Attorney General or Agriculture Secretary?
That is correct. 2 points, Jeff.
All right, headline number seven, 1 point available. Fans will not be allowed.
Sam.
Viking Stadium. Or U.S. Bank Stadium.
We'll allow it. 1 point available here. Blank fired from New Yorker magazine.
Oh, Jeff. Jeffrey Toobin.
Oh, yeah. That's where he worked? I actually don't remember where he worked as the story. What he did.
All right, number nine, 1 point available. Blank nest with nearly 200...
Murder hornets!
Queens 200 destroyed queens. In Washington State.
That's correct. Headline number 10, Hunter shoots...
Sam, 3-foot alligator.
Dang.
In Minnesota. While he was deer hunting this over on opening weekend.
My goodness.
And last one, 2 points available. Longtime host of Blank.
Alex Trebek, Jeopardy.
That's the way it is.
That is quite the comeback for Sam Sansevier, pulling out the 1 point win with a complete domination in the final round. It is the final score. Sam with 14, Jeff with 13. That was about as close as you can get. Sam, well done.
Thank you.
And she really, she was not messing around in that final round.
I had to get serious. Jeff, I don't think I've ever been more psyched out by someone who seems to just like.
Yeah, you were like polite. During that whole thing,
that's
just me. Can I?
I don't know why. I'm like
never been nice to anybody. Like every other roundtable guest is listening to this program, going, "Where's that Sam?"
I am Samantha, and I have an answer.
A law degree for her to be nice to me,
maybe.
All right, we've got a couple of people that have been on hold for a bit. Let's go ahead and we'll talk with Tom in Andover. Good morning, Tom. Thank you so much for waiting. And what's your question this morning here on Twin Cities News Talk?
Good morning, gentlemen, and way to go, Sam.
Thank you.
Quick question. Looking at the numbers, I've been doing my own homework because I can't trust the media to do it. The voter numbers on Minnesota. So basically, when you look at the number of registered voters per county and the actual vote tally per county, it looks like, 90% of the voters voted in the presidential election, whereas it was about 82 to 84% voted in the U.S. Senate election. So my question is that disparity common in a presidential election like this? I would have thought they would have been closer.
Does anybody have the? I don't have the answer to that. Jeff,
that's a bit surprising to me. That I mean, normally you go down the ballot and fill out the other races,
right?
So yeah, I don't know. I don't have a way of explaining that one.
Yeah, the entire. There's so many inconsistencies, irregularities with this election. And again, I kind of keep saying it. I just hope that we get some clarity on all this.
Yeah.
You know, I really do. And I find it stunning that, again, we're only having, I mean, the biggest one to me is we're only having all these issues, in the states that matter. that can change this whole thing. That's not to say, I know a lot of people are pointing to our elections here in Minnesota, and I think there is cause for concern if some of these lawsuits play out and some of these things are substantiated. I think there definitely is cause for concern for shenanigans having played out here, but so far I don't see anybody that's moved forward with any kind of real challenge to our election integrity here in the state, apart from Ilhan Omar, who cheats every election cycle.
Right. Yeah, I think a lot of Minnesotans are just, they're just numb to it by now. Greg in Hutchinson, last call of the day. Good morning, Greg.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Great. Go ahead.
I got a comment. I think what America lacks right now is men with testosterone. We need to stand up to the plate and start doing what the way God created our bodies and what we're supposed to do. You know, Donald Trump gets up and fights for America. He fights for us. You know, in my family, my wife knows that I'm fighting for her. She knows that I'll die for her. She'll know that I'll lay my coat down in a puddle of water so she doesn't get her shoes wet. But I'm not king of my house. I'm king of her heart. Donald Trump is king of America and doing the right thing. You know, Jerry's call was well taken, but his wife's the one that should have called in. They're the ones that, a little cuddly, give me a hug, everything's okay. Like you, we need more people like you two guys, Tom Emmer, Jason Lewis, Jeff.
One of a kind.
You guys are fighting for the right thing.
You know what, Greg?
Ended up with something.
You get a point.
Started a little shaky.
Yeah, you know what, Greg?
But you ended strong.
Yeah, you did.
You know, I'm gonna give it to you. You almost lost me, but then you had me.
1 point, Greg.
Yeah,
that was a fun ride.
I wasn't sure if I was going to enjoy where that journey would go, but
that was a good ride. I enjoyed it very much.
Okay.
All right, we now enter into that portion of the show where Justice and Drew, hey, that's me and you, we find out whether or not we've done our job to the best of our professional ability, and we can only learn that with what Sam learned today.
At 6:40 this morning, I learned that Minnesota Senate Republicans have elected a Democrat as Senate president, but they've got their reasons. Representative Tom Emmer called in at 8 a.m.
They've got their reasons.
And I learned Tom's thoughts on the election and all the nonsense that's happening right now. Lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien came into the studio starting around 7 a.m. And throughout the entire show since then, I've learned a lot from him about lawsuits, audits, recounts, and I learned that I'm a little afraid of him. So you can check out all hours of the show, hear all
you
of it.
Hear every day
by
now.
Finding our podcast on the iHeartRadio app. All you got to do is search for Justice and Drew to find all of our podcasts.
Jeff, you're in studio every day from now on.
Sounds good.
No, you're our Sam buffer. We found one thing that Sam's afraid of.
It only took like what, 5 years, 4 years, whatever.
A lawyer.
One person. Yeah. That
a lawyer
Sam will
is
be nice
kryptonite.
To.
Yes.
We found the person that Sam will be nice to. It's amazing.
Watch the news cycle. It's going to be an interesting Friday and weekend.
Jeff O'Brien, thank you so much for coming in. Anything you want to plug here real quick? You got 5 seconds.
No, just thanks for having me on.
All right, great. We'll be back on Monday, 6 to 9. Have a great weekend, everybody.